I'd like to focus today on primarily on the gospel reading. And there's three teachings in there that I think are very important that I would like to share with you. I'm not going to do it in quite in the order that they appear in the gospel. But the first teaching I'd like to bring out from the gospel reading is where Jesus says, "The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you." The Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that is our source of confidence, both in the truthfulness of the Scriptures, but also the truthfulness of the key teachings of our church. And I've heard some people say, well, you know, the Bible is written by people. Why does that have any more importance than any other writing? Well, that is true. It was written by people. You know, John, Matthew, Luke, Mark, Paul, Peter, James, even the book of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote it. And yet, the church has a very strong confidence that even though it's written by individual persons, they were all guided, they were all inspired by the Holy Spirit. And because it was an action of the Holy Spirit that guided what they wrote, we believe that they are authentically words of God. At the end of the 4th century, so around the year 390, I don't remember exactly what year it was, there was a convocation of bishops. And at that time, they made a decision which books that were written after the time of Christ would be acceptable books to be read at the Eucharistic celebration. And their criteria was basically that these are books that are already being used. And let's find out which ones they are, and we will make those the books that we use in the celebration of the Eucharist. Now, they came up with the list that we now have in the Bible. But it wasn't until the 16th century, after the Protestant Reformation, when some of the Protestant reformers began to question whether this book belonged in the Bible or that book belonged in the Bible, that the Catholic Church, at a council, the Council of Trent, issued an official list. These are the books that we hold to be revealed by God. Now, so we would hold that both in the writing, but also in the selection of those books, the church has been guided by the Holy Spirit. And those are then the authentic words of Scripture, the authentic words of God. And even though there may have been bishops who were unfaithful, there may have been priests who were living less than good lives, may have been popes who were sinful, that doesn't undermine our confidence that these writings express the Word of God and that they are writings which owe not only our attention but our allegiance. The second teaching is the line, "Whoever loves me will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." What that is saying, if you and I are truly living our faith, if we're striving to keep the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God dwells within each of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, God has not abandoned us. But God instead dwells within us. It's very important for us to maintain an awareness of that. That in a sense we are tabernacles. We are places where dwells the Spirit of the living God. Now, if we really understand that, then we also have to become very conscious of maintaining a certain openness or a certain silence to listening to the Word of God as the Spirit speaks in our hearts. To kind of give you a practical example of that. Who of us have not had the experience of just all of a sudden getting a sense, you know, I should call this person. Or I should stop by and visit this person. That can well be the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit leading us to do something that the Spirit wants us to do. Or the opposite could be happening. We get this message, something we had planned to do, and we get the sense, no, this is not what I should be doing right now. Again, the Spirit speaking to us, leading us, guiding us. And that is because the Spirit dwells within us and cares very much about everything we do, everything we say. That those things will lead us and lead others to eternal life. The third teaching comes from the line, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." The gift of peace. Remember in John's Gospel on Easter Sunday when Jesus appears to the apostles for the first time. What does he say? "Peace be with you." 8 days later, when he appears to them again, he begins by, "Peace be with you." Jesus wants you and I to know peace. Now, peace is not the absence of conflict. It is not the absence of having troubles. Peace is much deeper than those exterior things that are going on in our lives. Peace comes from that deep realization that I am loved by God. And that this God is leading me, if I am open to it, to the fullness of life in the kingdom of heaven. You know, some of the great saints, and I will use St. Paul as an example. If you read what he wrote in the scriptures, he talked about having shipwrecked, talked about whippings, he talked about being stoned. He talked about facing danger from robbers. He talked about sleepless nights. He was a man who dealt with a lot of conflict and turmoil in his life. And yet, in those readings, what he wrote, you sense a profound peace. A more modern example may not be as well known to people, but Maximilian Kolbe. Maximilian was a priest in Poland. He ended up in the Nazi concentration camps. He finally ended up in the starvation bunker where they would starve prisoners to death. And yet the other prisoners who had to kind of serve as guards who survived the war talked about the peace that man knew and the peace that he was able to bring about with the other people that were in that starvation bunker with him. His life was full of trouble, pain and suffering, and yet he knew peace. Peace comes to us because we know that we are loved. And that we know God is watching over us. And even in the difficult moments of life, He's leading us to the fullness of life. There's one other line in there, right at the end. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Do not let. In other words, you and I have some options. We can choose peace, or we can choose not to have peace. We can choose to trust God and His love for us, His care for us. We can choose to disbelieve. So peace is something we can choose. We can choose to trust in God. Just to kind of summarize the three teachings. The assurance that we are guided by the Holy Spirit and the Word of Scripture and the teachings of the church. God is not distant or absent from our lives. He dwells within us. He shares His very self with us. He invites us to be open and sensitive to His presence. And finally, in Christ, through Christ, we can know peace in our lives if we surrender to Him, put our trust in Him.